Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarlin Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yindindji Country, BBM Bummerbip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have you saying Yarlin Strong, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional and trusted beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black, have your say, and yarn up strong. Jump straight into it. AFCA, the Australian Financial Complaints Authority, reveal ongoing barriers for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander consumers. They continue to highlight the barriers First Nation people face in assessing financial services and products, particularly in regional and remote communities. The Ombudsman has called on industry to make 2026 count and take actionable change to improve service quality and the cultural competence of their organisations. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn with Dr. June Smith, AFCA Deputy Chief Ombudsman, and got her on the line. Dr. June, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm very well, thank you.
Fantastic. Where are you based, Doctor?
I'm in Melbourne, but I'm a Kurundji woman, so my mob, my country is Mildura up to Lake Mungo.
Beautiful country.
Sunraysia country. Yeah, river people.
And big shout out to your river people. Thank you very much. So, here we are. When we're talking about closing gaps, well, here we are in 21st century, access to finance. There's a gap there for First Nation people, and we need to close it, Dr. June.
Yeah, look, we saw about 2,500 complaints from First Nations mob last year, but what we hear and what we see and how we're listening is that mob continue to face, you know, real challenges and barriers to interacting with financial services and getting access to the everyday financial services other Australians take for granted. So we want the sector to step up and lift up and make some real change in 2026.
Look, fantastic. And I would also probably put on the table the employment of First Nation people in these financial institutions. That in itself would open more doors too, would it not?
Amazing, Trevor. And right at the minute, we've got three First Nations interns who are all at university in Melbourne and Sydney. We're loving having them. The energy they bring, yes, the cultural knowledge they bring. So it's so important that organisations understand not just to train people on cultural awareness, but bring mob voice in and listen to that mob voice, change what you do, having First Nations presence,
yes,
as well as that voice within your organisations, and things can only get better.
Well, exactly. And if you look at money, money's a tool. And we're talking about using that tool to get a loan to purchase a house, purchase cars, start a business, whatever the case may be. But we should be at the table, front and centre, with our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well, should we not?
Definitely. And what we know right at the minute is that First Nations people are having trouble right from the get-go, even with identity and the ability to self-identify and say, hey, I'm from mob, and so when you're providing a service to me, can you tailor it to take into account, you know, that I see kin and family very different to what a white fella might, for example, or my cultural name may be different to the name you've got on all your white fella paperwork.
Yes.
So there's some really tangible small things we can do to change how mob experiences financial services. But if you can't understand money, if you can't engage with financial services, and if you can't look after your family and your future, there's something really wrong.
Exactly. And Dr. June, when you look at it, we're having conversations or applications with a financial institution, so to speak. I don't want to bring the R word in it, but we should when we're talking about racism. Applications all going good until it's a face-to-face or a mention of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander person as such, doors close. So racism, we need to stamp out if that is the case.
And this is one of the opportunities, as you said, Trevor, of bringing First Nations recruitment and First Nations people into financial services institutions and allowing them to use their skills and experience, but not with cultural load, but also to influence culture from the inside. But we're also calling on organisations to listen to First Nations voices, even when they design products and services.
Yes.
We see so many times the mis-selling of products that don't suit the cultural needs of mob. We see so many times banks pulling out of regional and remote communities and no access to ATMs or real banking services.
Mm.
It is time for organisations to understand they need to do more.
All right, so where are we at with it, Dr. June? Is our communication with the AFCA is front and centre, and then we take that then to hierarchies and regarding government decisions that need to be made. Where are we at with this, Dr. June?
Yeah, well, AFCA is playing its role. That's the organisation I'm coming from.
Yes.
In partnering and listening to voices, everyone from ICANN, which is one of the consumer advocacy groups up there on Gimoi, Walbura, Yidinji country.
Yes.
We love them. Shout out to the ICANN lot.
ICANN.
All the way through the First Nations Foundation, who are working to improve financial literacy and also financial services engagement with First Nations issues. As you know, we did our media release last week in order to raise awareness with industry, and so when they're improving their codes of practice, when we're engaging with them as we do every day in how they are providing their services and how they can do better, we'll be raising all these issues with them.
At the table, is IBA at the table, may I ask?
Trev, you'll have to ask IBA about that. I'm sure that there's many First Nations voices. We're just trying to amplify and also leverage our experience and observations where we can.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much. Look, a very important conversation. Dr. June, thank you. Big shout out to
your
team there. And all the best 2026. Stay in touch and have a great day.
You're welcome, brother. See you soon. Bye.
Take care, sis. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Dr. June Smith, AFCA, Australian Financial Complaints Authority, and she's the Chief Ombudsman there, First Nation, of course, and we need First Nation, plenty more First Nation people in these positions in regarding access to finance, whether we, as black people, are getting a loan for a house or a car or a business. We should have the same opportunity as non-Indigenous people at the table, of course, in this situation. Have you say, Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
When a spear went past my ear, waterfalls is runner in the lane. I was chased by Walker Dutchy Rain. Darkness came a stranger's hands, a wild Kentucky man. Yeah, I got courage.
Yeah, beautiful track there, Kadachi Man, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindji country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we're across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. Our 2026 Antenna Documentary Film Festival has announced its full program from 5th to the 15th of February in Sydney. And we're going to catch up with yarn now. Filmmaker Pauline Clegg will attend Antenna this year as a festival guest with her latest documentary, The Colino Heart. Streaming as part of the 2026 program is a deeply personal film that reclaims a long silence First Nation history behind one of Australia's most famous circus families. And we do have Pauline on the line. Pauline, good morning. How are you, sis?
Good morning, Trevor. Good to see you here.
Yeah, you too, my sister. So where are you? You in Sydney, are you?
No, I'm in Lismore.
Lismore. All right. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So tell us about, 2026 Centenary Documentary. And also the Colino Heart screening. Please update us, please. Thank you, sis.
Yeah, so, we luckily premiered it at, on NITV a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, this is an epic story, as you know.
Yeah, good.
It covers, 150 years, but a family story about, shape-shifting in a way to evade the policies of the turn of the century, the 1900s,
yeah.
And turning into a circus family that then went overseas and became some of the biggest acts in the world.
Yeah.
And so as part of that, we're lucky that Antenna Film Festival is doing a screening in Sydney at the Disney Cinemas on the 10th of February to allow us to show it on the big screen, because it is one of those films that, has a huge amount of archives. We wanted,
and we're talking Indigenous heritage here too, aren't we, Pauline?
Yeah, and we wanted to give back agency to some of that footage that often is shown of not our mob, often around Stolen Generation and that is not about our mob having agency,
yes,
in those stories. And so we know that the stories that are around sometimes are complex for our mob.
Exactly.
And we have to start sharing some of those complexities in this truth-telling and talk to those hidden generations as well, that there's many different forms of our mob that are trying to find their way back home.
Yes. So the Colino Heart, incredible documentary, Legacy Survival, an epic generational tale of family intrigue. So, look, we are storytellers, and let the truth be told, virtually, is what we're talking about as well, aren't we?
True. And there's also that thing of there's oral history. That's why filmmaking helps us to celebrate this,
yes,
stuff. But there is oral history that our mob have held. The story about my mum when I was 7 years old, and she kept reminding me of the story.
Yes.
And I couldn't let it go, and I kept researching, and I kept, but I knew that, the family was somewhere. We knew they hadn't come back to Australia. And so it was that point of, once you find the family, then how do you tell, how do you see and meeting them? They have an American accent, but they speak and think and
Well, and we as First Nation people, we as black people, we're used to that, aren't we, putting a jigsaw puzzle back to piece, back to the picture, so to speak, and all the pieces and all the broken stories, so to speak, you know.
Absolutely.
So very important. And this is, and great, and hats off to the 2016 Tenor Documentary Film Festival.
Yeah, and it's lovely, you know, like, you know, once it goes on TV screens, it's sometimes hard to get it into festivals. And but we just sort of like went, you know, it'd be nice to be able to show it on the big screen.
Yes.
And to, you know, we often, when we see all that early, you know, this working in media all your life, you know, like in so many ways, Jim, you know, like, but you see all this, you see all this footage, from that early part, you know, that's been taken by other people.
Yes.
The fact that Con Colino, you know, at the in 1925, bought a camera and started documenting his family, and you see this family just going about business and dancing and, you know, enjoying the journey in the circus in so many ways, and that's our mob, you know.
That's our mob. That's our mob. So we're talking about entertainment, but we're also talking about the 1900s. We're talking about racism that's always there at the table, front and centre, so to speak, and to operate under that but still perform with a passion to entertain, you know, but
and that,
existence.
And that understanding about shape-shifting because, you know, that racism is still there and having to put on different identities, and the circus allowed them to create these exotic personas over the period of time. The sad thing was that they, you know, they were adamant to tell their next generations that they were Australian and that they had to come back. They just didn't tell them that they were Aboriginal at that point. They were telling them that they were Spanish or whatever. And so, you know, when the family finally does start to come back to Australia, that connection becomes very, they become very aware of that, as well as the mob that are still here in Australia and how they connect to each other.
Exactly.
Has been a remarkable journey, you know.
And so with the screening of the Colino Heart, the film will run, is there communication in regarding a commentary as such, or is it to explain the heartache, hence the name Colino Heart, but in regarding the journey, does it paint the big picture, the full picture?
It does, yeah.
Cool.
I mean, you know, it, I think, you know, I'm not, as you know, I'm not a filmmaker that likes putting myself in front of the camera, but for this one, it needed a little bit of the context of that story, and so having to be one of the narrators of the story really meant that we had to tell that story in a different way, but also the fact that country holds our stories and we need to look to country to bring those stories up again. And that's why we uniquely started it with Gamilaroi, you know, with the Gamilaroi language of the where the family's from.
Beautiful.
So that we could say that country holds the stories for us to come back to and start to do the proper research that we need to do.
Exactly.
To build these stories, and you know, it's not just about resilience, and it's not just, but it's also about love and family and survival and all that, you know, wrapped into one.
Exactly.
You know?
And sister, we look, we all, as first century people, we sound like broken records, don't we, in regard to the so-called stories and let the truth be told and what have you. So here we're talking film, we're talking circus. I'm adding to that in regarding all the platforms out there, whether it be sports, whether it be schooling, whether it be university, whether it be finance, whatever case may be, there's gaps everywhere. And let the truth be told, because the truth gives us a foundation that we need to build to move forward for all Australians. If you want to look at it, we just celebrated so-called Australian Day, you know. So, look, my sister, congratulations, and a big shout-out to, once again, Antenna Documentary Film Festival, and the Colino Heart will be screening, and the story will be told. And thank you for sharing, Sister Pauline.
Thank you, and hopefully I'll get up that way
Please.
Again and come and see you all again.
Come and have a yarn, come and have a cuppa.
My
sister, you take care, all the best, keep smiling, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, well, everyone.
Well, beautiful yarn there, Pauline Clegg, her name is. filmmaker, and look fantastic. You have the Kalino Heart screening as part of 2026 Antenna Documentary Film Festival, and that's operating from the 5th to the 15th of February in Sydney. So if you're down that way for business, holiday, whatever the case may be, do make sure you go and check out the Antenna Documentary Film Festival. And a story be told, incredible documentary of legacy and survival, an epic generational tale of a family. We're talking one of Australia's most famous circus families, the true story back in the 1900s. And we as First Nation people in all industries, and there we were in the circus industry. Let the stories be told. And that's what truth telling is all about. Have you saying Yanaf Chong, add to the conversation here, your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Southeast wind will blow all around us, and the winter wind can chill us to the bone. We will sail the Torres Strait and East Coast waters in working time.
Beautiful track, Sailing the Southeast Wind, from the beautiful voice, Uncle Seaman Dan, with us in spirit. And beautiful track. Thank you very much. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number. Yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from Macquarie. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. Story here from the National Digital Times article, worried for our kids. Boolu Perth rally bomb sparks fear. Authorities are treating an invasion day today, a day attack, as a potential terrorist act by an expert says it should also be considered a racial hate crime. A 31-year-old man is in custody after being accused of throwing a device designed to explode into a crowd of 2,500 people at the protest in Perth. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with our brother from WA, Merv Eads, Aboriginal activist, and talk about this space. My brother Merv, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Trevor. How are you doing,
mate? I'm good, my brother. All the best. Happy New Year. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob. Where you're from, please.
I'm a Noongar man. I'm the Menang man from down the Albany Way, Western Australia.
Yes. And thank you, brother. And big shout-out to your mob. Thank you for coming to the program. So, look, worried for our kids. Sad to have a bomb and being thrown virtually, acting as a potential terrorist act by this 30-year-old man. And if we're talking about Australia Day, Survival Day, whatever the case may be, every individual should be celebrating or doing what they want to do, whether it's to stay home or watch a movie, whatever the case may be. This 31-year-old man, he could have been in Sydney Harbour on the boats enjoying the beautiful day, but there he is in Perth throwing a so-called bomb attack on our people, brother. And there's children involved. This is not good. It's a hate crime, isn't it?
It is an hate crime, and let's be real here.
Yes.
And this is to government and all government officials. Let's be real here. This was an act of terrorism, racism, anti-Semitism at the highest level.
Yeah.
Just because the explosive device did not go ignite does not take away the intentions. If it did go off, it would have caused extreme damage, death, harm to so many people there.
Sure.
And, you know, we cannot, and there cannot be one level of accountability for some and not others.
Exactly.
And especially traditional owners and the custodians and the sovereign people of this land.
Sure.
We need everything to be accountable for it when things like this happen to us. This is new to us. This kind of terrorism we've never seen before.
Yeah.
And, you know, besides invasion, the biggest terrorism of this country. But, you know, accountability for some and not others, it needs to be accountable. This was a premeditated attack on
yes.
our people.
Yes.
And carried out to inflict death and serious harm to so many in the crowd. When an act like this is committed towards the Aboriginal people, we demand the same level of inquiries
exactly.
from all government agencies as what the tragedy in Bondi received.
She'll get the full case thrown at him, this 31-year-old man. The fact they're throwing a device amongst our people. I mean, like I said, he could have been four streets over celebrating Australia, how he wants to celebrate Australia. But to attack our people in using a device as shown, very, very scary. Here we are in the 21st century, freedom of speech, not, you know?
Absolutely. You know, and this is not a one-off. It has never been a one-off to our people. Mm. Our people have suffered all this sort of stuff for 238 years. You know, the racism, the Semitism, all this stuff is not new in Australia. It's been here and it's alive and well today. And what happened in Perth, Boorloo, having homemade bomb
yes.
tucked into the crowd. If that would have went off,
exactly.
that would have killed many, many people,
exactly.
women, children, and other adults, and all our mob.
Exactly.
Our mob was there,
yep.
and was really targeted. And it was a crime of hatred and racism
yes.
towards our Aboriginal people. And what I do say, camp sovereignty. When any camp sovereignty should have alerted the police and Everyone should have been on alert. After what happened at Camp Sovereignty, any big event for our people should have been monitored, full-on monitored and supported, you know, because what they did at Camp Sovereignty was the beginning of this. It's going to happen all over the country to our people because of what they did at Camp Sovereignty.
Exactly.
You know, and they've set this precedent. Now, in Camp Sovereignty and at Boorloo, when will it stop? I don't think so.
Exactly. Well, the police are investigating the incident as a potential terrorist attack, but saying it was only because of good luck the device did not explode. But it shouldn't be in a position where the device was where it was. It shouldn't have happened in the first place. And if authorities were doing their so-called diligence, it wouldn't have happened.
Oh, well, absolutely, Trevor. Yeah, you know, these sort of people, these sort of people like him, his hatred and all that, that is not just, he never woke up that morning and decided to do it. It was instilled in him.
Thank you.
And,
yeah,
you know,
that's
they should have been watching and monitoring if they're talking about. But, you know, one law for white and another for black.
Well, exactly.
Or any
other
nationality in this country. That's not on. We, you know, we want the same accountability, everything, that everyone else gets in this country. Because, you know, even Camp Sovereignty, how they all run onto all them women and that.
Sure.
You know, that is disgraceful. But in Cole Blanche, he got our elder meeting early on in the week with our community. You know, got them all together there. Then they came out and started talking about acts of terrorism, because that's what our people said.
Yes.
This is a terrorist act against us.
It is.
And our mob. And our people.
And the hatred is what we're talking about. And here we talk about the big island in Australia. And when you look at the amount of people who are coming from other countries to live on the beautiful big island in Australia. So whether you like it or not, multicultural at its max, here we are. You know what I mean? And we say as First Nation people, we're still fighting for our rights and our existence, whatever the case may be, and acknowledgement. And so to our brothers and sisters who come from all overseas, if you come to live here in the big island in Australia, love and respect us as the First Nation people and go about do your business, because we're still fighting for that with the Australian government, with the Australian people in regard to our existence as such. Yes?
Absolutely, brother. And you know what? When we talk about multiculturalism in Australia, a lot of multicultural people that come from everywhere else around the world, and as well as the English that came here and that, a lot of these people look down upon us.
Sure.
You know, we've got to call it for what it really is.
Okay, yep.
Our children walk into shopping centres, shops and that. Mm. You know, these people are all over them. And a lot of these people are not even from this country.
Sure.
That look at us like we're rubbish or something.
Mm.
Because this is a trend that has been set in this country.
Sure.
A trend to oppress and suppress our people. And, you know, it's okay to do this and that to blacks. Well, it's not.
Sure.
It is not okay.
And I will extend the... I was just going to say, brother, I extend it to our indigenous brothers and sisters from another country. They understand, 90% of them understand, they're coming to another man's country, and that respect for a First Nation man, if they're a First Nation person, so to speak, you know what I mean? They understand that. But our non-indigenous foreigners who are coming here, I sort of trained the other way in regard to the so-called racism. We need to so-called, the old phrase, build a bridge, get over it. As we say, brother, well, lest we forget, you know, we are still here.
Absolutely.
Always was, always will be, will we not?
Yeah, we're not going nowhere.
Thank you.
We're not going nowhere. We were the brunt of the biggest genocide in the world, right here in the lucky country, as they call it. We were the people that, you know, they talk about, you know, I look at it and I think sometimes they talk about the Jews and what they've gone through and, you know, rah, rah, rah. That's not even on the scale of what really happened in Australia. It's undocumented. The massacres and all that happened to our people, it's all undocumented. The numbers are controversial, or I say I'll say it's rubbish.
Mm.
When they talk about a massacre of 20 or 30 people, you know, we've been here for 65,000 years. There would have been thousands and hundreds of thousands of our people everywhere.
Yes.
You know, and they say, oh, we had this little massacre of 30 people, 40 people over here. They're rubbish. We talk about thousands. That's what they really...
Exactly.
They didn't document it. They didn't document it in that way. But, you know, this racism in Australia, it's always been here, but it's gone to another level.
Sure.
And, you know...
especially if you're talking bombs, devices.
Absolutely. It's a war that does not come from here.
Yeah.
That's been carried on here. But, you know, when they start putting us as targets, Aboriginal people of this country, well... That is just
mind-blowing. And, brother, when you look at it, we were talking about 26th of January. We're talking about Australia Day, as we call Invasion Day, Survival Day, whatever the case might be. And I saw the interview with Chok Mundeen and Pauline Hanson on radio. They filmed it. And she said, well, whatever day you pick, we're still going to have racism. Do you feel that way inclined if we change the date? It no longer becomes Invasion Day, it becomes Survival Day. No, it could be a day of black and white Australians together. When we pick look at a date, 26th January, is when the white sails came here. So we're celebrating that day. That's why we call it 25th of January, was their last day of freedom. 26th day is Invasion Day. If we pick another day, and they only started celebrating Australia Day back in the 70s. You know what I mean? So it's easy to change a date. I mean, Queen's birthday always been changed, but we pick a date that suits all of us. Do you think that Invasion Day, Survival Day, may disappear? What's your thought, bro?
Well, to be honest to you, brother, that day will never leave the memories of our people.
Okay,
yeah. It will never leave the hearts of our people, what had happened to our ancestors. Yes, we can move on.
Okay.
But
yep.
The remembrance will always be there. You know. We will remember, but we will never forget. We will never forget what happened to our people.
Well, if we pick another day, as Pauline Hanson said, no matter what day we pick, we're still going to be marching in disgrace of whatever day it is. Is that your thought process? Would it be a more togetherness if we pick another day?
We need to have a good look at it,
yep.
And everyone, you know, come together and say there must be another date. But you know, when we talk about Pauline Hanson making these statements, Pauline Hanson has been the vial coming out of her mouth for the last 20 or however long she's been in government. She incites racism. People like her have incited it. From a long, long time ago, all these different nationalities that she keeps picking on, but Aboriginal has always been the guts of her aim. Mm.
She always states the fact that she's born in Australia, so she's Australian, and yes, she is. Yes, she is, but she's not First Nation.
Well, a lot of Westerners, non-Indigenous throughout Australia, they think that too. Oh, whatever happened in the past, that was the past. That's nothing to do with us. But they all forget that that was their links.
Yeah,
that's their link to the crowd.
And they live on their link today.
Absolutely, and they use it when they want it, and they look upon us as if we're dropped out of the sky or something.
Yep.
And they walk around in our country, our land,
yep.
And you know, to go and try and set a explosive device off in a crowd of such magnitude.
Mm. Yep.
His intentions and his premeditation.
Yep.
That was well thought out, because no better place than to do that than on Invasion.
Well, in actual fact, this 31-year-old man should be charged as a terrorist. And that is the crime that he created. Yep.
And if he's I don't know where his links are.
Sure.
All these people, brother, you know, even like what I've seen in Bondi, these people come from war-torn countries. They learn to shoot a gun. They learn to shoot a gun before they rode a bike.
Mm.
And you know how they could come into this country and be allowed all the access to all these stuff such as guns, and even to make a bomb.
Yeah.
All those liquids and that was in that bottle. How could such people, anyone, get hold of such stuff and make it?
Yes. My brother, thank you for your yarn, brother. And look, love, thoughts, prayers going out to the mob over there. Well, across this country, the big island, here we are, you know. We're allowed to freedom of speech, march, and talk about Invasion Day as we see it, or Survival Day, whatever it can be. But we don't need bomb attacks. There you go, my brother. And thank you for your yarn.
No.
You take care, brother, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Thank you, brother. And the white supremacy. That's a big problem too, brother. That's where the hate comes from.
Well, they're looking at having a Nazi party in the political world. Hello.
Oh, it's one big Nazi party.
Yeah, brother. You take care, my brother. All the best, eh?
Much love, much respect.
Much love. See, bro. There is a beautiful yarn there with Merv Ease, Aboriginal activist over in WA, and we're talking about the so-called potential terrorist act by a 31-year-old man being accused of throwing a device and designed to explode in front of a crowd of 2,500 people, and that's Merv Ease. And that story came from the National Indigenous Times article. Worried for Our Kids was the headline. And also a statement here by Social Justice Commissioner Katie Kiss said the potential for mass casualties caused deep distress and fear among First Nations people. Have your say, Yana Strong, here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, there is a beautiful track there, Black Fella, White Fella, Warrumpy Band, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn, is yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black. We come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindji country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 99.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Now, Australians urged to march on for veteran mental health. We had a daily yarn last week about this beautiful space, and Soul John has launched its annual March on Challenge for 2026, urging Australians to move with purpose throughout March to support veteran mental health and help save lives. With that, we're going to catch over yarn now with Paul Pearson, Soul John volunteer mentor, and we do have Paul on the line. Paul, good morning. How are you, brother?
Yeah, good, thanks, Trevor. Got you now, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, Paul, can you let the people know who your mob, where you from, please, bro?
Yeah, for sure, mate. Look, my name's Paul. Look, I'm a proud Yorta Yorta man, which is down the Murray region.
Mm.
I served 28 years in the the Australian Army.
Yep.
23 years was full-time and 5 years with the reserves.
Well, hats off to you, my brother.
Beg your pardon?
Hats off to you. Thank you for your service, my brother. Yes.
Thanks, mate.
And so you're volunteering as part of the Soldier On and Australians Urge to March On for Veteran Mental Health. How long have you been a volunteer there with March On, brother?
Yes, look, I've only just started participating with them in the last 6 months.
Okay.
I'm in the field of mental health, mate. I got out of the Army a dozen years ago. I went to uni and studied nursing and I'm now a credentialed mental health nurse. So I
good
saw
on
an
you.
Article on their website asking for a mentor. So
yeah. And I you fit it, of course. You fit the you got the qualifications, you could say, brother.
Yeah, look, I've got a lot of lived experience as well, mate. I'm sort of pushing 60 now, but I just sort of love life at the moment. And I think if I can give someone else a bit of poke and prod and, you know, let them, you know, make their wishes come true, it's quite rewarding.
Yeah, no, good on you, my friend. And so are you practicing your nurse qualifications? Yes?
Mate, yeah, definitely.
Where are you working? What are you doing, bro?
Yeah, so I work for a private hospital at the moment, Ramsey Health at Warners Bay, Newcastle.
Okay, big shout out.
I'm on the books in the public system for the MARTA in Newcastle as well. That's pretty full on, but yeah, I find the private at the moment it's easy for me. I can spend a bit more one-on-one time with my clients.
Good.
Up in this way, there's a lot of military people from Air Force and Army, so I tend to get involved with a lot of those guys. There's a big Indigenous population too, so I do a lot of cultural stuff. My dad's Aboriginal man.
Yes.
My mum's an Italian lady, so I do a lot lot of cultural stuff either side. So
multicultural. There you are. Multicultural, brother.
Yeah, look, I'm a proud Aussie, mate. That's my background, but I'm proud of the other sort of bloods in me as well.
Yeah. So tell us about Soldier On, me being a mentor, 6 months. What urged you to it? And do you like what they do in regarding Soldier On, March On?
Mate, 100% I do. Yes, so I saw the article come up and I thought, you know, I can do well with this. So it's an 18-week program.
Yep.
I was linked up to a young bloke over in Western Australia. So we did everything online, look, an hour to 2 hours each week. You know, just finding out what they want to achieve and, you know, just say it how it is, keeping it simple. And I explained what I did to get to where I was and, just gave the young chap some ideas. And to his credit, he got up and did what I suggested. And now the young bloke's working. He signed up to do some further courses this year.
Yes.
He's actually a young Samoan fella.
Okay.
He probably won't mind me saying his name. His name's Al.
Big shout-out, Al. Big shout-out, Al.
Yeah, yep. He's a Samoan heritage.
Okay, brother,
But he's actually working in an Indigenous mob over in Bunbury, Mandurah, down south of Perth. So, and he's texting me all the time on and how he can cope with some of the elders in the area. So,
yeah, good.
Yeah, so Soldier On, like, the program's run really structured, which I like.
Yeah, beautiful.
I use most of my skills in that, but they do give out lots of information for the mentor to follow and also for the mentees to follow.
Yes.
Yeah. And look, there's other things Soldier On do from, you know, coffee groups, walks, just lots of social well-being stuff for them. So, look, there's a lot of organisations out there and they are very helpful. It's just that we've got to get the word out there, mate.
Exactly. And look, we're getting the word out by having a yarn here now on National Talk Black Goes Across the Country. By any means necessary, getting the word out, fantastic. It's respecting our soldiers, our veterans, mental health. Look, that comes in the fray of things, whether soldiers have PTSD or whether they're in a space where they find they can't get out of. We just need to recognise and acknowledge all our soldiers, black and white, that protect us and protect this big island, Australia, Paul.
Mate, you've made a really good point there, Trev. Look, I don't just work with black fellows either, me brothers and sisters. Yeah. I work with everybody from military to... look, I work with a lot of emergency services, lacking a lot of services, and just the general population, mate. It's such a big area, mental health, but there's it's it's either so difficult to get into, and the services out there are quite limited. So.
Yeah. Well, exactly, brother. And we need to be strong in this space, you know, and protect. And also, it just gives a vision as well to what soldiers go through, but also an opportunity for young brothers and sisters out there, black or white, to join the forces and make a career out of it as well.
That's right. And I think where a lot of things are collected too, Trev, is, yes, it's the servicemen themselves, but we tend to miss their families, you know, their partners, their spouses, their children. So Soldieron actually gives a lot of support to those guys and girls as well, which is awesome. Like back in my day, you know, my wife and children and family was quite limited,
and
we thought it was our own responsibility. And I think if I can help one person, you know, I've done something. So that's what I'm here for. So
I love your work. Mate. Love your work, Paul. Congratulations, and really do support and appreciate and respect you being a mentor for this fantastic space. But listen, brother, thank you for the yarn. All the best to you, your family, brother, and keep doing what you're doing.
Yep.
Enjoy the journey, and keep smiling. Happy 26, bro.
Yeah, no, look, thank you, mate. Look, I'd just like to thank the Soldieron themselves, and
please.
Amanda, Linda, Claire, the media officer, the CEO, Paul, he was actually a mentor himself as well. So, those guys and girls, you know, things don't happen. So, we got to thank
Team
them
effort.
People as well. But look, this is really great. Thank you very much for the time, Trev.
You take care, brother Paul. Keep smiling. We'll talk soon, eh?
Yeah, okay, mate. Look, thank you very much, and God bless, eh?
God bless. Bye bye. Beautiful yarn there. Paul Pearson, his name is. Soldieron, volunteer mentor. Served with the Australian Defence Force for 23 years as a regular, then 5 years reserves. And now went and got his qualification as a nurse, male nurse, and there he is doing his job. And he only saw the opportunity to become a volunteer for March On, Soldieron, and he did that 6 months ago. So First Nation man, good to be yarning with him and talk about how he's helping other people by using this vehicle. This is your daily program, National Talk Back, Trinity Trevi, Murray from the Curry, about to sign on for you, Mob. I thank you very much for your company. There goes another program, 1 hour program, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM, Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM. And we've got Foster Nation, thanks to NERS, National Surveillance Service. We can have our yarns next week. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416 or 24/7. You can leave a message. Text us, 045-714-0550. Don't forget our Facebook page or BBM 987 FM. A voice for our people, but a good yarning circle for all people to have their say and yarn up strong and all issues on your daily program, National Talk Black. Stay tuned for the news coming up via NERS, National News Radio Service, and a big shout out to the NERS team as well. To Delhi.
Hey, which way are you, Mob? We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. Jindaba, napi bamada. Jindaba, kat jindaba mada. Jindaba, gadan. Jindaba, listen.